Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for your church, Lord. Thank you for worship. Thank you that we can just get together here freely and to worship you. I pray that you just hide Pastor Cal behind the cross, Lord. I pray that you would speak through him this morning. Just want to thank you just for all that you do and all the blessings you give us each and every day. In your most heavenly name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, don't you appreciate our Austin Peay ministry team from the BCM? Hallelujah. Well, I don't want to swell their heads. Why don't you give them an even greater response than you just did? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all just keep following Jesus. Keep singing for Jesus. Keep lifting him up. And I also want to say to you, what a great crowd we've got today. Maybe it's the second Sunday after Easter that everybody comes back. Hallelujah. Anyways, we're glad to have our Adult and Teen Challenge brothers here with us. They're going to be helping lead out in worship. I think it's the first Sunday in May. I think that's right. And so they're going to be giving some testimony and singing and leading out in worship just like they did today. And so we're looking forward to that, guys. And thank you. I mean, the first row is where my daddy and mama always had us sitting. Because this is where the spout that the glory comes out. Right here on the first row. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all go ahead and bump fists with one another. Hallelujah. All right. We are in the second of a series of sermons on stewardship. Thank y'all for coming out in numbers today to hear that. Hallelujah. And so we're going to be, now, I've got one more left, and I think next week we're probably going to talk about what are you doing with all that talent? You know, there's two issues, two things that you can take a look at to figure out where you are spiritually. One is your calendar. The other is your mobile banking account. Your mobile, you know what I'm talking about. You older folks, your checkbook, okay? So those two things give you a great idea of where you are spiritually. And so this morning we find ourselves in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's stand as we honor the reading of God's word. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 5, and then we're going to focus on verses 6 through 15. But this is a good introductory context passage, if you will. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 1. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, concerning the ministering to the saints, y'all know the saints need ministry too, right? Okay, it's superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready, lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your, what's that next word? Generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a guiding obligation. Father, would you honor your word today? Would you bless the reading, the teaching, the preaching of your holy, inerrant, divine, authoritative word for our lives? We can't follow Jesus if we don't do what you tell us. And so, God, help us to be obedient in this area. In Jesus' sweet name, we all pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. I want to talk to you about generous giving this morning. Y'all may have heard about the farmer who called the church office looking for the pastor one morning. And the receptionist answered and said, "Hello, may I help you? This is such and such Baptist church." And the farmer on the other end said, "Yes, I'd like to speak to the head hog at the trough." And she said, "Excuse me?" He said it again. He said, "I want to speak to the head hog at the trough." And she said, "Sir, if you're referring to our beloved pastor, it's not real appropriate to call him the head hog at the trough." And she said, "More appropriately, you need to call him Reverend or Minister." You know, somebody that says to me, "Hello, Reverend," they don't know me from Adam. But anyways, Reverend, Minister, or Pastor. And he said, "Oh, okay, well, I apologize, but I just sold a bunch of sows at the market, and I wanted to give $10,000 to the building program, so that's why I was calling to try to catch him." And the receptionist quickly replied, "Oh, just a minute. I think I hear the little porker coming in the back door just now." I'll talk about generous giving this morning. This is the second series in stewardship. And don't check out on me. Don't treat it like you're at a hotel. Go to the front desk and check out. Stay with me today. We're going somewhere with generous giving. Now, the reason I read verses 1 through 5 is the context that this passage of generous giving is sitting in. And Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a year beforehand, had gone to the Gentile churches in Galatia and asked them to take up a love offering for the Jewish church in Jerusalem, for the Jewish believers, the church, and most of them were Jewish down in Jerusalem. They were having a hard time. Persecution had come against the Jewish church, and so the church had scattered, and they were everywhere now. And many of them had been imprisoned and put in jail. Some of them had lost their jobs. They were really struggling financially. And so Paul thought, man, it'd be an awesome thing to take up an offering from these Gentile churches that have sprung up in Galatia and Asia Minor. And what Paul did to encourage those Gentile churches was to brag on the generous giving that took place at the church in Corinth. And you know what? Can I just be real honest with y'all? Sometimes I'm out bragging on you all. This is a giving church, and I thank God for a giving church. But it'd been a year beforehand, and their testimony of generous giving had spread, and now it's a year later, and those Gentile churches had given generously to the love offering that would go to the church in Jerusalem. And yet, the Corinthian church had not yet followed through with their generous pledge. And so, the great apostle Paul is encouraging the church to follow through with generous giving. You know, there's been a lot of different leaders through the years that have encouraged generous giving. The great Methodist evangelist, John Wesley, once said, "Make all you can, save all you can, and give all you can." I think that's a great way to live your life. And then most of you probably heard of Sir Winston Churchill, great leader over in England. He once said, "You make a living by what you get, but you make a life by what you give." The greatest person who ever walked the planet said this: "It's more blessed to give than to receive." Acts 20 and 35. Who said that? Jesus said that. All right. Y'all stay with me. So, did you know that God has given us a plan for your financial stability and prosperity? Did you know that? He has given us a plan for your financial stability and your financial prosperity. I'm not a prosperity preacher, but I want to tell you, I believe what the Word of God says. And if you'll give, God will bless. And you know what I found? You cannot outgive God. Give somebody a high five and tell them you can't outgive God. You cannot outgive Him. No way. And so we're going to look at the, and by the way, I've always noticed givers always have something to give. Hello? So that's what we're talking about this morning. Now, let's jump to verse 6 here now. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoo! And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And so he gives an example from the harvest of what generous giving looks like. And how many of you know you reap what you sow? And you normally reap more than you sow, and you even reap later than you sow. But every farmer here can tell you, man, the more seeds you sow, the greater the harvest is going to be. The greater the crop will be. Y'all with me so far? Okay, and so he uses this principle here called the law of the harvest. And if you give generously, you're going to be blessed generously. How many of you want to be blessed? All right. How many of you want a net blessing or a gross blessing? We talked about that last week. So anyways, there are five tremendous benefits, five tremendous blessings that come from generous giving. Y'all ready for those? How many of you want to be blessed? Don't you want to benefit from being a giver? Well, there's five of them. Huge. Now, when we're talking about spiritual sowing and spiritual reaping, the more money we sow in gospel seeds, in getting the gospel out to people, the greater the crop for the kingdom of God, and the more divine blessing you will receive. And so let's take a look at these benefits. How many of you have ever, well, you don't have to put a hand up, but I always hear, what's in it for me? Well, you're going to hear what's in it for you right now. All right. First of all, generous giving brings special affection from God. Generous giving brings special affection from God. Look at verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for watch this, for God, what? For God what?
Love.
For God what?
Love.
A cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. You see, generous giving flows from a generous heart. The Greek word cheerful here, y'all, I've said this before, is the Greek word hilaros. And the English word we get from that is hilarious. Giving ought to be an hilariously cheerful time of worship for the church. It should be, and yet when you look at the faces and the countenances during giving time, some of our folks are afflicted with what I call cirrhosis of the giver. They break out in a sweat and they begin to tremble, and you know, they get scared and afraid and everything. But I've noticed the cirrhosis of the giver doesn't happen at the department store, and it doesn't happen anywhere else, just in church. And so what he's saying here is, if you will get to the point where you're just thrilled at the prospects of investing in the kingdom of God through generous, cheerful giving, you're about to be blessed in a special way from God. God loves. Now, we know God loves the world, right? So John 3:16, you know that God loves people, right? But if you really want to get an extra measure of love from the Lord, just operate on what we're talking about here today, generous giving. Look at your neighbor and tell them, God loves you. Now look at your neighbor and say, let's give. Well, I made liars out of half of us this morning. All right. Generous giving brings special, if I wished I had more time, I could tell you story after story about how God has expressed His love toward my family just because we give. And it's a privilege to give. It's a blessing to give. Amen? Now, secondly, in generous giving brings special attention from God. Special attention. Look at verse 8. Are y'all hanging in? Nobody's gotten up and left yet? All right. And God is able. How many of you know God's able? He has all power. He has all knowledge. He has all wisdom. He's got all the resources. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. You understand what he's saying here? If you give generously, God will bless you generously. You mean he'll put a Cadillac in my driveway? No, he may put a bicycle in your driveway. But he'll bless you in a lot. There's a lot of other ways to be blessed than just financial blessings. And then follow this with me. May have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he is dispersed abroad, he is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply. Say that word with me. Multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. God gives his special attention with his resources, with his power and his wealth. By the way, you do know God's the one who gave you the power to get wealth. It says that in Deuteronomy. He's the one that gives us power to get what we've got. And to get in on this special attention from God, we've got to be willing to get rid of what we've got. I heard the old African-American preacher say one time, man, I got to get rid of what I got so I can make room for what's on the way. I've always noticed, if you'll give, it'll open up the great, big, gracious heart of God, and he'll pour into your life so that you can get more. Now, that's not our motive for giving. We don't give just so we can get more, but if you give it with a generous, cheerful spirit, God will give you more so that you can give more. Oh, that's a good word. He'll give you more. He'll put more. What does abundance mean? What does multiply the seed that you've sown mean? He will get. I've always noticed givers always have something to give. Now I'm not putting, if you're broke, busted, and disgusted, there's a reason behind it. But God's people have the ability to be extra blessed of God when we give generously and cheerfully. And let me just say this. If you can't give cheerfully, don't give. I mean, if you're going to give grudgingly and try to hold on to it, don't give. Because God's not going to bless that kind of giving. With me so far? But if you want to be blessed and you want special affection and attention from God, just open up. Generous giving flows out of a cheerful heart for all that God's done. Here's the third blessing. I need to move quickly through this. Look at verse 11. Generous giving brings glory to God. Watch this. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God, for the administration of this service, he's talking about this love offering that's going to the church in Jerusalem, not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the abundance of your confession to the gospel of Christ. And for, now this is the only way and word, the way the word liberal is used that I like. Liberal giving. Sharing with them and all men. Our giving glorifies God. It just brings glory. Now, when Paul and Titus and a few of the others carried that love offering down to the church in Jerusalem, how do you think that affected those Jewish believers? Woo! I bet they dropped on their knees and went to thanking God and giving great glory to God and thinking, oh man, our brothers and sisters up in those Gentile churches have given glory to God. Glory to God. You know what I was thinking when y'all were up here singing today? I was so thankful that we give to the Austin Peay BCM. It brings glory to God. Hallelujah. Anytime we give with a generous, open heart and spirit, it brings glory and honor to God. You see, in and of ourselves, it's just not naturally for us to start giving our stuff away, right? But when we do, it opens up other people's eyes and their hearts towards the Lord. Because it gives us evidence that we've been changed by the power of Almighty God. Amen. The only reason we give is because God gave us salvation. And God gave us life. So giving, generous giving, glorifies God. True story. I saw you see all kinds of slogans on cars, right? Honk if you love Jesus. I saw one that says, tithe if you love Jesus, any fool can honk. Help me, Jesus. Generous giving brings glory to God. Here's a fourth one. Y'all ready for this one? Look at verse 14. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Generous giving brings special relationships, friendships into our lives. When Paul and Titus and those other guys brought that special offering to the church in Jerusalem, that love offering, which was over and above their tithe, it blessed the church in Jerusalem. And they began to pray for the saints up in those Gentile churches that was north of Jerusalem. And they began to thank God for them. And then their hearts began to long to, hey, you know what? We need to meet them. We need to hang out with them. Because they're part of the family of God. It is so special to give generously to other ministries that we're surrounded by. I've just mentioned Austin Peay and the BCM. We have an Austin Peay, we have a BCM day. And there's Stacy Murphy back here. She's one of our friends. Y'all wave at our friend back here in the back. She's the direct, she is the minister on staff and on the ground over at Austin Peay. Go by the BCM and greet and meet Stacy sometime. And so our giving has brought that friendship to life. Look right here. These guys are the poster children right here. Our giving to the Adult and Teen Challenge ministry has brought friendships in that have blessed us and blessed them. How many of you have had a car wash over there by the guys that take? Three of you? Y'all, come on. Get out, get out, get out, get out more. And be a blessing to them and give. And what a special relationship we have with these young men. Hallelujah. I love you guys. And God's got a great plan and purpose for every one of you. And He's going to use you mightily for His glory. He's the God of second chance. He's the God who takes special, special, special pleasure in picking us up and dusting us off and using us for His glory. That's another sermon for another time, but it's a blessing to give to Adult and Teen Challenge. Look at these friends God's brought up in here today. Yeah, go ahead. We've taken up the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. That has brought us in to hundreds, if not thousands, of missionary relationships. We've got a missionary here in town, Amanda Maglaccio, who's been ministering to folks over in Southeast Asia. And she came and shared with us. Oh, I guess it's been about a month ago on Wednesday night. We only had about 30 adults here to hear her that night. But out of that small crowd, we gave her almost $1,600. And she looked at me like I'd shot her with a gun. She couldn't believe it. And she was going to take that offering and use it for the upbuilding of the kingdom. And so every time you see Amanda, we got a special friendship, special relationship with missionaries. You understand what we're saying here? Generous giving brings God's people into your life that you don't know, that you have a kindred spirit with. Amen? I could tell so many stories today, and I just need to preach the word. So here's the last one. Generous giving brings a special likeness to God. Verse 15, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Who's he talking about? Jesus. There's nobody like Jesus. Do you know him? I mean, do you really know him? He's something else. He is wonderful. He is glorious. He is full of mercy and grace. Human language just breaks down when you start talking about him. Thanks be unto God for that. He is the indescribable. Here's a good word that might help. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. He's that good. Amen. Let's give Jesus praise today. Hallelujah. He is the great giver. Hallelujah. And he set the example in our giving. He blazed the trail. He showed us God gave us his very, very best. And he did it generously. And he did it cheerfully. And Jesus responded by coming and giving his life, laying his life down so that we might be able to be in relationship with Almighty God. You're never more like Jesus than when you're giving generously and sacrificially and cheerfully and wonderfully. That's who your gift is going to. When you give to the Lord here through the church, you're giving to the Lord. You're following his example. I know college kids don't have a lot of expendable income, right? You know, I remember those days. But I want to tell you, you're never too young to start giving. Generous giving. Because when you get, if you'll start when you're young, when you're my age, you'd just be too blessed to be stressed. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As our musicians are coming, let me ask you this morning, where are you spiritually? Where are you spiritually? Are you giving generously to the Lord's work? Are you giving in a way that's cheerful and happy to give? Or are you always struggling to have ends, to make ends meet? I'll promise you, based upon what the Word of God says, if you'll give generously and cheerfully, you'll always have enough to give. But the first thing you need to do is give your life to Jesus to receive that blessing. And if you're here this morning, let me just share with you how you surrender to Christ. We've all got an issue called sin. And we've all sinned to come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, separation from God. Can't be in relationship with this sin issue we've got. But Jesus is God's gift from heaven. And he lived a perfect sinless life and laid down his life and went to an old cross and became the payment for my sin. His blood was shed. He gave his life so that he could be the sacrifice for my sin. And 3 days later, he got up from the grave. And he is alive forevermore so that you could have life abundant and life eternal. And by faith today, if you've got the right spirit and the right heart, God will save you. But you've got to call on him. You've got to surrender to Him. You've got to yield to Him. And we're going to give you an opportunity in just a moment to do exactly that. We're going to ask you to just get up out of your seat and come forward. And we'll have folks here to meet you and greet you and pray with you. And then get some stuff in your hands to help you get started in your new life with Christ. Maybe you're already saved. But you need to make that commitment that God's laid on your heart to become a generous giver. A tither and an offering over and above that tithe every now and then. You want to be in on the blessing and the benefits of generous giving. I want to tell you, God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out such blessing you won't be able to contain it. Father, we want to go the Jesus way, as the worship team sang about. And in order to do that, we've got to yield, we've got to submit, we've got to surrender to you wholeheartedly today. And for some, that means salvation. For others, that means sanctification, growing in godliness. And sometimes, Father, the last area that we give into is that financial area. That's why Jesus spoke so much about it. And so I pray now, Lord, that you would use this time for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If everybody would stand, we're going to sing an invitational hymn together. And you come. If you've been saved, you come. If you need to pray, you need revival in your life, you come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.